America's democracy hangs in the balance. While you're tuned into politics, Greer McVeigh, host of the Capital G podcast, will help you make sense of the news of the day and, more importantly, understand how what goes on in our nation's capital is important to you and your family. Greer shares insights and opinions in the lead up to the election, and then will help guide you through the anticipated aftermath and into the next administration. That's politics with a capital G.
Welcome to the Capital G podcast. I'm your host, Greer McVeigh. We're back after a brief hiatus. Well, maybe it's a little longer than brief, but we're back after a hiatus, nevertheless. And so much has happened, yet so much is still the same since the last time we were here. This week's big news, of course, is the midterm elections. And Governor Chris Christie summed it up quite well.
This is the first time that a party that's held the White House has won independence in 20 years. And the message for that is Trump is dragging the party down. I said this, I think, on election night, although we were here till 2:30 in the morning, so I don't remember what the hell I said on election night. But he said we were going to do so much winning that we would ask him to stop winning. Well, in 2018, we lost the House. In 2020, we lost the Senate. In 2021, we lost two Senate seats in Georgia that we should have won. And in 2022, we performed under historic norms for what was going on in this country and for being the party out of power. That's a lot of losing. And I think what Republicans came to grips with Tuesday night was we're tired of losing and we're tired of Donald Trump dragging us to lose because of his personal vanity.
So we're going to get into this whole, you know, the Republicans should have won, would have, could have, should have won. I don't know about that. I'm going to get to that in a minute. At first, I do want to start with today's big number. Well, there are a lot of big numbers. I'm only going to give you one, though, and that is 1914. 1914 is the year, the last time that the party in power, or the last time that the incumbents didn't lose a single Senate seat. So usually the party in power, trends show that the party in power tends to lose during a midterm election. And part of the reason for that is apparently it's an opportunity for the electorate to sort of course correct and to get back on track. If they don't like something, if they don't like how things are going, it's an opportunity to vote, and the trends again tend to show that the party in power loses seats in the House and in the Senate, taking away some of the president's power. This is the first time since 1914 that not a single seat was lost in the Senate of the party in power. As a matter of fact, they picked up a seat. Technically they didn't pick up a seat because they did pick up a seat and there's still a seat outstanding. So we're going to see, but none of the incumbents lost. So that's an interesting little factoid for the Democratic Party. That was Chris Christie, who was on this week with George Stephanopoulos. And in his comments, he, along with every single Republican I've heard, and quite a few Democrats for that matter, are saying, you know, the Republicans could have won, they should have won, we thought they were going to win. And yes, all of the polls, not all, almost all of the polls did show, I think all the polls show that the Republicans were favored to win. They were favored to pick up seats, certainly in the House, which, of course, if you gerrymander the seats, you are likely to pick up some additional seats. And they thought they may or may not pick up a Senate seat, but certainly didn't think they were going to lose. Well, I find it interesting that a party that is taking away an abortion was a big issue on the ballot, as was democracy, as was climate change, as was the economy. There are so many things going on, but you have a party that is still fixated on the 2020 election. So we're in 2022, in case anybody has not looked at a calendar recently. So it's like, you really think that a party that will not let go of an election that happened 2 years ago, that 60 judges said that there is no evidence, there's no evidence, there are countless investigations, the January 6th committee, the Department of Justice, they're investigating Trump, they're investigating Trump allies after January 6th. The Republicans have spent 2 years not voting for anything, not voting for, you know, they're against making insulin more affordable. Insulin somehow should be $700 a month instead of $35 a month. I'm really at a loss for why, other than the trends show that the party out of power tends to win, I have not seen anything that would suggest to me that Republicans really would or could or should win. If you pay any attention to politics, which I know a lot of you don't, and that's why you listen to me or listen to other podcasts, and I appreciate it, and I thank you for listening. But if you don't notice anything else about politics, half of them, meaning Republicans, spend all of their waking hours on Twitter trolling the libs, trying to own the libs, instead of legislating. They have told us what they're against. They talk about the economy is horrible. Oh my God, gas prices are, you know, $7 a gallon. Well, in California, they've been $7 a gallon, over $7. But gas prices are up, inflation is up, the economy is not strong, you know, all these things that they argue, which one, aren't quite true, but two, to the extent that, yeah, gas prices are up and the inflation is up and, you know, the economy has certainly seen better days in history. But when you ask Republicans what they're going to do about it, there is absolutely no prescription for fixing it. They've not offered anything that would suggest, hey, this is how we're going to improve the situation. Instead, they just vote against what Democrats propose. For instance, Democrats had a windfall profits tax. So for companies like energy companies, gas companies, that are gouging us, whether it's gas or food or other kinds of goods. Democrats are saying, you know what, if you, this time last year or 3 years ago, pre-pandemic, if you made, you know, 22% profit or 8% profit or 16% profit or whatever was your average profit margin, and all of a sudden you're making 50% profit, or all of a sudden you're making $60 billion in a quarter of profit, then you're just gouging us. And then you should pay taxes on that. And the money that you, the taxes that you pay will then go back into helping people actually be able to withstand the gouging that you're doing. And Republicans vote against that. So the fact that they're not really doing anything to help people, and somehow don't seem to realize that people can see this. It's like, you know, we see you, right? We see you voting against our best interest time and again. So it's not clear to me, as I was saying, why it is the Republicans think that they should actually win. So that's you know, sort of my, been my stuck in my craw for some time now. Over the last few months, I've been working on some other projects, which is part of why we've been off, and I'm just getting back into this Capital G podcast, which I love doing. I'm just going to talk about a couple more things. Tomorrow or today, Tuesday, what is today? So this is Monday night. But on Tuesday, November 15th, Trump is expected, former President Donald Trump is expected to announce his run for president for 2024. Now, my gut tells me that he's not going to actually run, that he's going to find something else to talk about. Excuse me, that he's going to find something else to talk about, because the candidates that he endorsed and backed over this in this last midterm did not do well. And it doesn't make him look good. As a matter of fact, he looks weaker now than he has looked, actually, I think, ever. Literally, when he came down the escalator in 2015 to announce his bid, and he paid for a crowd to be there to cheer him on, he was, you know, pretty weak. Nobody took him seriously. He's paying, you know, $50 a piece to get some actors to stand in the background. But he built and built and built and built. And I'll give him that. He did build a movement. And within that movement, he amassed a lot of power and control over the party. Okay. Well, now he's, he lost in 2020. He's been sort of running around over the last couple of years, facing all these investigations. And I personally think, to the extent he will run for president, it's not because he really wants to be president. It's because he realizes, one, he gets to make a lot of money when he is president. But two, as president, he's been led to believe that he cannot be charged with crimes. The presidency itself gives him a level of immunity that he has enjoyed from all of his criminality. And it's all just coming at him fast and furious. So trying to stay a step ahead of the law, he's going to run. Well, of course, Republicans were like, don't you run before the election, right? They definitely didn't want him announcing, because there's so much, he motivates people to vote. So many people feel some sort of way about him. Democrats in particular, right? Democrats are like, he just makes people insane. And they're like, I don't need the craziness. He's no good. He should not be a part of the party, part of the Republican Party. If you guys want to have this man with all the circus that comes with that, then that just stimulates them to get out and vote. Republicans, for their part, seem to, a lot of them really like, especially the quote unquote MAGA Republicans, the Make America Great supporters, they are absolutely like, oh my gosh, we love Trump. But it's not clear if they actually vote for him, or if they do show up on election day and vote for him, you know, are they voting for other people? All the people that he endorsed across the country did not win. He did not do very well in this last election. Quite a few people who denied the election, that denied the veracity of the 2020 election, did in fact win, but not in swing states. So people who were gonna probably win anyway, It might be MAGA Republicans. It might be election denying Republicans. It might be any number of types of Republicans, but they're not those kind types of Republicans that are in Democratic states or in swing states. So all of those people, particularly in Arizona, in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, the Dr. Oz's, the Carrie Lakes, the Blake Masters, they didn't win. So that diminishes Trump's power. And with diminished power, deciding that you're going to run for office when there's still one election left to be run in Georgia, they have a runoff election. There's really, they're pleading with him to not announce on November 15th. We'll see if he does. If he does, it might go down in flames or it might revitalize him and give him some more juice. But all the people that would want to run against him, that Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and Ron DeSantis, all those people, those the usual suspects, but Ron DeSantis is sort of taking the lead in this horse race. Youngkin from, I think he's in South Carolina, you know, he may give a run for his money. He's sort of a newbie. He's a governor, and he just won his first race. He's like a businessman turned governor. We'll see how he does. So anyway, that's sort of what's percolating over in right-wing world. Just a couple more things. So if Trump does, if he does decide to run, are those people going to get out of the way and back him? Or are they going to say, yeah, been there, done that? Based on Chris Christie, you know, who I just opened with, I get the feeling that Trump may run into some problems. Even Mitt Romney is not really supporting him. Well, Mitt Romney didn't before, but they all sort of fell in line. So that'll be the question. The bigger issue, and I think the real reason that Democrats did so much better in the midterms. Yes, the economy was on the line. Bodily autonomy is a better way, I think. Sounds nicer than abortion, but you know, abortion was on the ballot. But another thing that was on the ballot is democracy itself. And the push to, and this is, and I'll talk more about this in a future episode. I want to keep this one pretty short. But this whole notion of people getting to vote, that is something that I've always voted. I've always known I could and should vote, certainly from the time I was 18, have voted. Most people have. We take that for granted. In this country, America, it is something I think we could take for granted until now. And there's such a push to, and there's a not just a push, there's actually legislation out there now that the Supreme Court is going to take up that would deny people the right to vote, or that would give the ultimate decision-making about who's going to be the nominees back to the states and to legislatures in some states. So if you're going to have your elected officials decide who's going to be the senator and who's going to be the president or who's going to be the nominee instead of the people voting, then all of a sudden it just changes the calculus of our system of government. It just changes things. That in and of itself is democracy. So if we're going to literally, if we're going to decide that we're no longer a democratic country, we're going to be an autocratic country, and we're going to use fascism, fascist techniques to get us to this autocracy, We're going to use violence, political violence, like on January 6th, to get us to this place where we just have a ruling class that's, or a single person who's going to tell us what we're going to do. America ceases being America. It becomes a different type of country, one we have seen in other places around the world. But I don't think a lot of us are really thinking through what that might look like. And again, I will talk about this in a future episode. For now, I do want to talk a little bit about, well, before I move on to talk about all of the legal woes that Trump, not all, but some of the legal woes that Trump has, and I'm just going to touch on those before I wrap up. Here's Sunny, what's her name? Sunny Hostin from The View, talking about why people voted, what they voted for.
Well, you hear, I do think, though, what was terrific is the turnout that we saw by young people.
Yeah. Yeah.
From age, yeah. The age groups 18 to 29 voted for Democratic House candidates 63% of the time. That's really significant.
Yeah.
And I think what's also significant is, you know, Biden was criticized for not talking about crime, inflation, and immigration. Those are Republican talking points. He had his finger on the pulse of what the everyday American needed. And he explained that our democracy was at stake. And if you look at the exit polls, the two biggest issues, number one, saving our democracy. Number two, women's health care rights.
Yeah. Well, Alyssa,
So again, these are big issues and the things that are relevant for your life, for my life. Can I get health care? Is my mom going to continue to get her Social Security so that she can live with dignity into her old age? And not just my mom, your mom, everybody's mom or dad. Or am I going to have to pay out of my pocket for her into her old age, and then that takes away from my family? I mean, that's like a real thing that Republicans are threatening to take away. Social Security, the environment. Young people are like, we want to breathe. We want clean air. We want safe water to drink. We want to be able to grow food and crops and be healthy. So these are like actual things. Republicans are over there talking about, you know, transgender bathrooms and that kind of thing. And it's like that's not going to make me live longer or die sooner or anything like that. So it's like, let's focus on what's important. But again, as we shift into this new era, we know now that the Democrats will retain the Senate. And looks like Chuck Schumer will continue to be the Senate Majority Leader. Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House may be out. Right now, there are, I think at the most recent count, it was like 206 Democrats had won, and 200 races had been called, and 212 Republican races had been called. And the goal is to get to 218. So Democrats have a longer way to go and fewer options. They'd have to get whatever that is, 12 more wins to Republicans, six more. And Republicans have a sort of a clearer path. So it looks like Republicans might win, but, you know, all the votes have not yet been counted. So we'll see how that works out. If Republicans win, there's going to be a whole big contretemps about who's going to be the Speaker of the House. Kevin McCarthy has done everything in his power to kowtow to the MAGA Republicans and the base in order to get them to like him, I guess, and to vote for him. They've been going along all these months, these last couple of years, like, yeah, Kevin, we're, yeah, you know, keep giving us what we want and ignoring reality, and we'll vote for you. Now that we're on the eve of it, they're saying, we're not going to vote for you. They're like all these Republicans that are like, we're not going to vote for you. So that's going to be an interesting thing to see how that turns out. If the Senate, and right now they're anticipating that the final numbers would be 216 to 219, which comes to 435. That's the number of representatives we have. If it's that close, just two or three, a difference of two or three, that means pretty much every single Republican needs to vote for that one person. If more than three peel off, let's say four peel off. So let's say Kevin gets 214 votes. Well, Democrats who have, in that scenario, 216 votes, if they voted for some, you know, gave Nancy Pelosi or whomever 216 votes, that person would be the speaker, which would be an interesting dynamic to have a speaker of the House who is not of the party, the ruling party, the party with the most votes. The speaker of the House decides what gets voted on. So that would be an interesting thing. And we'll be watching to see if Kevin McCarthy can hold that caucus together and ensure himself at least 218 votes, which means they could only spare like one. And I'm sure that Nancy Pelosi can hold her caucus together. She's demonstrated she can if she needs to. Even if, you know, and I think Democrats are ready for some other leadership. So even if Nancy were to win and then step down, you know, a week later, a month later, or hand the gavel, I don't know how that would work. I suppose they'd have to re-vote. I don't know anybody else who could get all 218 votes or 206, whatever that number would be, of it in the who's currently serving other than Nancy Pelosi. I don't think there's anybody else who has the kind of leadership power, with the exception of some people who are not in Congress. There is talk about from the Republicans about Donald Trump being the Speaker of the House, which would be crazy making, especially if he's running for president. I guess I don't know how that would work out. And I've heard some Democrats float names like Barack Obama. I don't think he wants to do it. He and Michelle seem to be living their best lives right now, but anything is possible. So we got to watch that. I just want to listen to Chuck Schumer give his opinion about how this all went down.
You have had lots of success, but I'm wondering what is different. Do you think there's going to be what is going to be different this time with the MAGA Republicans? Because you said that before. Please work with us. Why is it different this time? Why
do you think it's different this time? Because they lost. They all expected to win. The red wave proved to be a red mirage. And one, if not the main reason, but one of the main reasons for sure, was that average American folks, even those in the middle, even those who tended to be Republican, said, I'm afraid of this MAGA. They're trying to ruin our democracy. It's not, if you look at the numbers, if you look at the results, House and Senate, the MAGA Republican way didn't work. The MAGA Republican candidates across the board, you just showed some of them, lost. Yeah. So if you're a good leader of a Republican Party, you say continuing to follow them is a path to disaster.
Just one more follow-up to that.
Sure.
Okay, so listen, the messaging. You know, people were very critical of the messaging, as you saw in the media. And I talked to
And that was, I could have set that up a little bit better, but that was Don Lemon talking to Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer is currently and will continue to be the Senate Majority Leader. And Democrats continue to want to rule or to govern in a bipartisan way. And Don Lemon is like, why do you think this time is going to be different? They didn't do anything to help the last time. And Chuck Schumer does remind us that there were some bipartisan bills. It was hard, but there were a couple of bills that were, there was gun legislation that got passed. Some stimulus monies got passed early on. So there was some bipartisanship. And Chuck Schumer, along with Joe Biden, is trying to get us back to sort of the center, away from the extremes on either end, back toward the center, so we can all work together and govern like we have some sense. So anyway, another big thing that we're watching out for is basically what's going to happen with the January 6th committee, what's going to happen with Donald Trump, and where is Merrick Garland? Merrick Garland is the attorney general, and there are so many investigations going on right now into Donald Trump. So many. I mean, there's the New York State, the AG is prosecuting him for the cheating on the taxes. They're cheating on the inflating his business, the value of his businesses, and deflating it when it comes time to pay taxes, and inflating it when it's time to get a loan on property. That's illegal. He's got other paying his executives. There's a trial going on now. Trump is not the defendant, but the Trump company is. And that's about paying for paying his executives in kind, paying them with, I'll pay your rent, I'll buy your cars, I'll do this, I'll pay for your life, but not give you the money. Then he's not paying them payroll taxes, and they're making money. They're not paying their taxes. So that's a crime. There's, you know, down in Georgia, there's the, let me get to Georgia. I'll get back to Georgia. But the find me 10,780 votes, which is election fraud from the last time. The stolen documents, the top secret documents from that he smuggled out of the White House that he wouldn't give back, and they had to come and raid Mar-a-Lago, and then there's still missing documents. There are so many things coming and going, and it's like, is Merrick Garland going to indict Trump? And those are sort of the big things that we're looking at. Fannie Willis, who is the DA down in Georgia, she's the one investigating the election fraud. Is Trump ever going to be prosecuted or have to, at minimum, be called into court or into a situation where he has to stand trial and face the accusations? The January 6th committee has been doing this whole investigation for, it's been over a year now. They're about to come out with a report, I believe, in December. So they've mapped out, and they did their presentations on TV. Some of them were in prime time, some were during the day, where they showed us what happened, how we got to January 6th, and that people were stirred up and brought to DC and part of a conspiracy to intimidate, what's the vice president's name? I've forgotten him. He was so uneventful. Mike Pence. Intimidated him, who, by the way, today finally said, or yesterday, I guess it was last night, finally got around to saying that Trump was wrong and bad for telling the people that Mike was a coward and wouldn't do what it took, and you know, turn the crowd on Trump. So, you know, people are now starting to make their moves. I think everybody was sort of waiting for the midterms to come and go so that it's like, okay, now we got to make our moves. Who's going to run? Who's not going to run? Who's in it to win it? Who's going to stick with Trump? Who's jumping ship? You know, Trump's got all the money because everybody's donating the money to him instead of to the traditional places, the Republican Party and the, you know, the National Committee of the Senate Reelection Committee and so forth. So all of that, they've got to make some decisions and they got to make them quick. But there is one more race. And speaking of Georgia, the last race, Senate race, I mean, there's still some other races that have not been called. And there are a couple of states that have ranked choice voting. So we don't know those. Alaska and Maine, I believe, is the other. God, we might get Sarah Palin back. It doesn't look like we will, but that's a possibility. But in Georgia, we've got Raphael Warnock, who's the incumbent senator, who is there on a, he finished a term of someone else's, and then running against Herschel Walker, who is an absolute nightmare. He's just an absolute nightmare. I'm sorry. I don't normally pick sides. I try not to pick sides, but it's stunning the level of so hopefully people don't forget Georgia. I will say the last time that Georgia was having a special election when Warnock got elected to finish the term, and John Ossoff ran as well. And I think he was in the 6th district. Donald Trump was in the news there telling people, don't go vote. It's all fake. It's all fake. People didn't vote. And Georgia gave us 2 senators. Ossoff's was for a full 6-year term, so he's not running. But Warnock is trying to defend his seat, and Trump has endorsed Herschel Walker. So we'll see how that ends up. So at any rate, we got to stay tuned for all that action. And I am just so thankful to be back. I'm getting excited again going into this. And now we're about to launch the presidential, because of course it's got to take 2 years to run for president. I like those countries where it's like, you know, 8 weeks, but at any rate, it gives me something to do. I am so happy to be back with you, and thank you for listening. Again, I'm Greer McVeigh, and this has been the Capital G Podcast. That's politics with a capital G.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Capital G. As always, you can find show and host information at capitalgpodcast.com and even more information and commentary on the Capital G blog, which you can also access through capitalgpodcast.com. If you liked what you heard, please share the show with your friends and subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast platform.